This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 538 in the series. This session shares the Franklin Mass Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, May 5, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Most members of the Town Council, selected guests, and town administration personnel were in the council chambers. At least one member of the council was remote, along with the public, via the Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I split the almost three-hour meeting into three logical segments. First, covers the opening of the meeting, including the recognition of DPW Director Cantareggi, the public hearing on the stormwater bylaw wording, and the license transaction for La Cantina Winery. Second, covers the Melanson and Heath audit report and the presentation by Franklin TV. Third, covers the town communications update by Anne-Marie Tracy and runs through to the end of the meeting. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda, including documents released from the meeting. So let's listen to this segment of the Town Council meeting of May 5, 2021.
Okay, we will move on to presentations and discussions. Our first one this evening is Melanson and Heath, FY20 audit. Jamie, you want to do the lead-in?
Sure, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So with us tonight are Scott and Jen from our auditing firm, Melanson and Heath. A couple quick points. I just want to thank them and their hard work, obviously, this year. This has been a challenging year like no other. And the same is for our auditors. Having to do an audit remotely when normally they're in the executive session room here at 205 with piles of boxes. I also want to thank our finance director, Chris Sandini, and treasurer collector, Carrie Bertoni, who spent countless additional hours this year to try to get them the materials for the audit in a new way. I've put up here on the screen an overview. I know Scott and Jen are with us. Jen Reddington from Melanson are on Zoom tonight. They're going to go through the audit on some highlights. There's copies for each one of you on your desk. And we also have posted the audit both on tonight's agenda. And we have a section at for the folks watching at home, www.franklinma.gov on our website. Go to Town Budget. And we have a decade's worth of audits on that website for the public to completely review and look at our full financials. Before I finish, I do want to thank the entire administrative staff and their finance team for an incredible year. As you're about to learn, you know, the town of Franklin, even despite the pandemic last year, has done a great job throughout its financial statements. So we would expect nothing less. So without further ado, Jen or Scott, do you want to take over and lead the discussion?
Sure. Thank you very much, Jamie and Mr. Chairman, members of the Town Council. Thank you very much for the invitation to join your meeting tonight. Jen and I are, and Jen's going to lead much of the conversation with respect to the financial statements and the results of our audit. But before she does, just a quick word from me as the partner in charge of the engagement. You know, in terms of required communication, we are required to let you know a couple of things. One was really how the audit went. And in our opinion, the audit went very well. What we mean by that is we found the books and records to be in good working order, cash, receivables, debt, all the key account balances were reconciled on a regular and timely basis. Additionally, there were no disagreements in how to apply generally accepted accounting principles between the town of Franklin and our firm. And lastly, the last of the three major requirements that we have via the audit standards to communicate with you folks deals with accounting estimates. There are a handful of accounting estimates in your financial statements. The largest are, of course, deal with your net pension liability and your net OPEB liability. Jen's gonna talk about those account balances a little bit more. They are actuarially determined. So there are, actuarial standards that go into determining those estimates. And with that said, those are the sort of the required communications. I'm going to turn it over to Jen.
Hi, I'm sorry I lost service. Did you do the audit report?
No, Jen. All I did was just a quick overview of the fact that our audit went well. I did not get into any our opinion or anything else. That's take it away, please.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. So if you could please turn to the independent audit report, which is the first page after the table of contents. It's on page 4 of the PDF. And this is our the opinion, and you have a clean opinion for this year. That's the best opinion you can receive from an independent audit. And that is the same opinion that you have received in prior years. It means that there were no exceptions that we found throughout our auditing procedures. If you continue on to page 7 of the PDF, that is the management discussion and analysis. And what it does is it's an attempt to put the audited numbers into words. It's a results of operations for the year. And if we can keep scrolling to page 14. Page 14 is the liability and fund balance section. Excuse me. Of the statement of net position. The major changes that we see here are on your two major, it is on page 17 of the PDF. I'm sorry, if you can keep scrolling. Next page. Thank you. So right in the middle of the page, you have your two largest liabilities, which is your net pension liability and your net OPEB liability. Your pension liability went down this year, and that was mainly due to the assumptions change for the Norfolk County retirement that you are included with for about $41 million in that system-wide. There was a new valuation done this year in January 2020, and also the investment results came back higher for about $85 million. When you net those together, a portion of that is for Franklin, and it's about 7.6975%, and that gets amortized over 5 years, but that's, you know, part of the increase of your liability for the current year. The other main liability that you had and had the most change from the prior year is your net OPEB liability. And that increased also due to assumption changes and also due to the fact that the investments earnings actually didn't make what the actual valuation had intended them or assumed that they would through their report. So the liability increased from the prior year. The one thing that we wanted to mention on the OPEB liability is the major change that was made in the prior year. So in 2019, the change was made that when your retirement system was fully funded in 2032, that those funds will then be allocated to continue to fund your OPEB. And right now you have $6.8 million in your OPEB trust fund, and you have a $71.8 million liability. So this is a, you know, very strategic change that the town has made to move those funds over and continue to help fund your OPEB liability. It will make a, you know, large impact on that in the future. That is one thing that we also suggest that you look at annually, just to make sure that, you know, the assumptions for your retirement have stayed on track and that, you know, everything is still reasonable and realistic on both the retirement and OPEB funding strategies. We can continue on to, it is the report page 16 and the PDF page 19. This is your governmental fund balance sheet, and this is much more how the town keeps their books, and we're going to focus mainly on the general fund. And the general fund column has the general fund, and it also includes your stabilization funds. And I'm going to focus on the third number up from the bottom. It's the unassigned fund balance of 11 million 231,583. And that is, you know, arguably the most important number in the financial statements. It's the start of the free cash number when you go for your certification, and it's also what the bond rating agencies like to look at. They like to see that that number is between 5 to 10% of your budget. This year, you are down very slightly from the prior year. You're at 9.1%, where last year you were at 9.3%. Your financials have stayed very consistent from the prior year. I'm just going to break it down a little bit more so that in that number you have your, you know, unassigned general fund piece, which is 3.8%, and your stabilization balance, which is 5.2%. Those are, you know, you're right in the target. They're very healthy numbers, and it would be looked at as a strong financial position. And if we can continue, it's actually towards the end of the statements. To the budget versus actual, it is going to be on page 59 of your report and 62 of the financial statements. So when we were just talking about the unassigned fund balance, it was very similar to last year. It actually decreased by 489,000, and we're going to talk a little bit about why it decreased on this page. So you used in the prior year $3.1 million of free cash. And if you look at the very far right column, your variances in the very bottom number of $2,919,737, that's the amount that you were able to recoup through your budgeting process. So you spent a little bit more than you were able to recoup in the current year, and that's the main cause for, you know, the slight decrease in your unassigned fund balance in the current year. Now, it is a slight decrease, and we're going to talk about some of the changes, but it still shows good budgeting and financial management throughout the town. If you look at the total revenues column over on the right-hand side, this year you had revenues that came in over your budget of $793,000. That is decreased from the prior year of about $1.2 million. Last year, that number read $2,072,000. The main reason for that is for motor vehicle and license and permits. And, you know, the town of Franklin is not alone in this. We have actually seen that across the Commonwealth because of COVID at the end of the year. Those numbers just weren't what were anticipated. You still did well, but, you know, just they weren't the normal amounts that came in. And on the reverse side, if we go down to the total expenditure line items, you'll see you had two turnbacks this year of $2,141,384. And that is slightly higher than the prior year. The prior year you had, you know, $1.3 million. And the main reasons for that is, you know, just things weren't used as much. The general fund turned back a lot more for electricity and natural gas, and, you know, things just weren't as in use this year with everybody being home and, you know, things changed. But overall, you know, things, you still had, you know, a successful year, and the numbers were very, very consistent with the prior year. I would also like to thank the whole financial team. This year was incredibly different and challenging, and everybody was wonderful to work with. The books were reconciled and in, you know, great order when we came in, and they were able to get us the information we needed to get the audit done. There is no management letter this year, no official management letter. That's, you know, something that doesn't happen to all of our clients. It's actually, you know, very few that we don't issue management letters. We did have a small side letter that we issued of a few cleanup items to Jamie and Chris, but, you know, overall the audit went very well, and, you know, thank everybody for their efforts.
Jen, if I could just add one thing, and if the statements are still up on the screen and the in the chamber, if it's possible to go to page 12 of the PDF. And much of what Jen just summarized on that page in the very back of the financial statements, the budget versus actual, is summarized in the paragraph just down from the top where it says the general fund. There's a sentence in there that the town wrote that really encapsulates, you know, really summarizes what Jen said. You had $2.9 million in favorable budgetary results of operation, and you used $3.1 million of free cash. So certainly those net to about a negative $200,000, and you're looking at a reduction of your unassigned fund balance of $489,000. And we certainly recognize that those numbers don't match. There's a lot of timing issues with respect to encumbrances in there. But in summary, the slight reduction in your unassigned fund balance is from that one sentence in the middle of that paragraph. The positive budgetary results softened by the $3.1 million in free cash that was used. I just wanted to point that sentence out to the readers that they can make a note of it there. It's a great place to go back to at a later point in time to remember why that key account balance of the unassigned fund balance decreased in FY20.
Thank you, Scott and Jen. Questions or comments from the council? Councilor Kelly.
I'd just like to say great job. No letter.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 10 years and 12 years, 11 years, whatever it is this year. And then I don't think we've ever hit a no letter year. So congratulations to everyone and for your hard work. And thank you so much.
Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know this sounds odd, and I totally agree with Councilor Kelly. He and I have been sitting in these chairs a long time, and we hear these reports every single year, and I was actually commenting to the town administrator just earlier that out of all the presentations that we get every single year, this is, as odd as it might sound, is actually one presentations I look forward to, because for all the years I've been sitting in this chair, it's always been so positive, and this year it's just extraordinary to hear this news considering the circumstances of COVID and everything that had to happen in order to make ends meet this past year. So I want to thank the auditors for their hard work. I know they look through everything with a fine-tooth comb. They come up with an honest and very strong argument in regards to how well this town is run, and that really is a testament to everyone that works for this administration and the treasurer's department and our hardworking individuals here at the town hall. Thank you for bringing this forward to us tonight, and I look forward to hearing a positive report next year as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor DeLorco.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I just want to thank everybody. You know, it's a tough year, yeah, through the pandemic. I mean, look at the Zoom calls we had to do and all that stuff. And I'd like to thank the auditors and thank our staffs. And I'd like to thank the fellow counselors for you know, I thought we did a great job sticking together during this pandemic. And I just like to thank all my counselors for being there during the tough times, and everybody else. And you too, Jamie. Thanks.
Yeah, thank him. Thank you, Councilor DeLorco. Councilor Chandler.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Chairman. I reiterate what all my fellow councilors said. Great comments. Scott and Jen, just a quick question. It looks like you've given us some accolades for our like stabilization funds that we have, you know, with the athletic fields, the fire trucks, those type things. Is there any other stabilization fund you suggest that we should be doing that you've seen in other towns? That was on like page 11, if it helps you out.
Yeah, I'm looking down at the bottom of page 11. You know, you have, you know, what we can see when it says just stabilization from, you know, I'm using very generic terms here. We consider that just a generic stabilization and not a special purpose stabilization. That's really the key, in my opinion, and based on my experience with credit rating agencies, the general stabilization is the key one, because it's there for general use. The special purpose stabilizations really become community specific in terms of what the practice is for, you know, fire truck replacements and things like that, whether it's typically a bonded item or if, you know, certain funds are tucked away in a fire truck stabilization fund for a couple of years and then essentially paying cash or for the fire truck. Some of that's very community specific. So your general stabilization account is quite impressive. The special purpose ones, those really, it's tough to compare it with other communities. You'd really have to get into how each community traditionally budgets for those capital items to draw any type of comparison. And I'm, quite frankly, I'm just not prepared to draw that comparison tonight. If it's something the town wants me to look into a little bit more, I'm happy to, but I'm not prepared to say much more than that.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All set, Council Chairman. Any other questions or comments? Scott, Jen, when you bring this kind of news to us, we always love hearing from you. thank you very much. And Jamie, to you and the administrative team, great job. This is great news, and it's great for not only people sitting here this evening and the people at home, but the entire community, because it just helps us everywhere. So thank you all once again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Moving on, our next item on the agenda is Franklin TV, and we have Pete Fasciano with us this evening. Pete, please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I want to do tonight is just a couple of things, provide some basic information to all those watching about who we are, who we're not, et cetera. And also to perhaps shed a little bit of light on stewardship and how we are managed and what we actually do. One of the things that I'm grateful for is the fact that we come before town council now every quarter. We have a discussion about the budget. And so this is an opportunity to let people know what we're doing with the money. So that said, Chrissy, if you would, please. First, some of the basic information. We started in 2012. Prior to that, the town was actually operating the local cable studio, which it had inherited from Comcast 6 years prior. We set up a public corporation, a 501c3 nonprofit, and we are contracted by the town of Franklin to provide the service of operating the local studio. And so we operate on these three channels, all branded. There's a public access channel, a channel for the school, and a channel, of course, that you're watching right now, which is for town hall. Next, please. In 2017, we expanded our services, including the radio station, which we were licensed for with the FCC. That was a big win. We're also streaming online 24/7, just as all of our video channels are streaming online and all of our video programs are available on demand. We are also, in the next couple of weeks, putting our radio programming in the same way, on demand, so that way those podcasts will be available for people. Today, the radio's volunteer staff, by the way, produces over 400 original programs a year. That's pretty impressive for a volunteer group. Next, please. Again, to clarify, in some cases, such as the town of Braintree, the studio actually operates as part of the town, which used to be the case in Franklin until 2012. So we are not a department of town services. However, as many of you know, we operate very closely with many of the town departments. Building department, with the town IT department, notably. We've been expanding IT services, working with the town, installing more fiber in key places. And so this public-private relationship, being able to put up a tower that we use and police fire use, those are all cooperative ventures that have benefited both of us. We are not associated with the cable carriers. That is, we're not part of Comcast, not part of Verizon. Every once in a while, a citizen will call us up and say, I'm not getting a picture. So just to clarify, the cable carriers are where you go to try to find where it is that the service has stopped. how we're paid for. There's a small access fee on our cable bills that come in every month. That 5% access fee goes to the town. The town is the local franchising authority. Just as we have a contract with the town, the two cable carriers have a similar contract with the town. They are under obligation to collect this fee and send it to the town, and then through the council, that money is then transferred to us. And we use that for a capital expansion, we use that for operating expense and so on. Next, please. So what do? Our mission, we obviously produce local programming for Franklin residents in the form of interviews, business openings, history shows, cooking, arts and performance events. We promote and cover local events, school recitals, sports, parades. We promote other nonprofits. Next, please. The physical services we provide, we record, edit the programs, go out on studio locations, events, with one or more camera people to cover those things, put them into their final form as programs. We also do provide training for videography, graphics, post-production, and so on. So people who want to actually get involved in the type of work we do, we help them do that. We also create artwork for various messages and programs and voice public service messages for the radio. Next, please. Our staff is not large. It's me, a production manager, Chris Flynn, many of whom you know, and two more producers who handle videography, graphics, and so on, and all the rest of it. We also have a part-time facility, a technology manager. Then after that, there are freelancers that we call from time to time. They are paid per event. And then there are also occasional volunteers that work with us. We have no administrative or supportive staff. We run pretty lean, deliberately. Next, please. So here's the big question that I put forward tonight. We're not a commercial enterprise, but what if we were? I ran a commercial enterprise for 15 years. So this is a part of the business that I really understand. What would be the competitive commercial cost, the value, to hire the Franklin TV facility and our services? What is the sum value of the work? As many of you know, every single quarter, the money that comes to us adds up to an annual of about $660,000. That's the money that we receive from cable subscribers through all of you. I returned to what I know from the commercial years that I worked. I created a rate card. That is, here are our services in the left column. Those services are grouped in ways that are very modular, and we create programs out of that. We send out one camera and an operator. You see that in the first line item. Or maybe we send out three. And then there are other things. We mix and match those services for every program that we do. The columns that you see to the right, public education and gov, are all the different programs that we produce. Next slide, please. What that all adds up to is that we generate well over 400 programs a year. And the sum value on the street of what we do comes in at over $1.5 million in terms of its commercial value. So for the money that's coming into us, we are actually creating a multiple that's well beyond two times, it's 2.5 times of what our actual budget is. In the commercial world, any TV company that even approaches 2x its total revenue is considered to be very healthy. So in that sense, we're doing quite well. I also recently met with several other studios like ours, and I asked the question, how many programs are you generating annually? I didn't get an answer. I've asked that question more than once. Next slide, please. Again, at a high level, what we produce and what we create, exposure, the programs and everything that we do, can be redistributed on YouTube, any other way that any client wants. The people own all the creative rights without limit. They can do whatever they want with material we create. Next, please. Again, this is a refresher of the earlier slide you saw, our mission. One more. And this is the condensation of that mission in a simple sentence. I read that top line when I was 13. In the public interest, convenience, and necessity. We saw that tonight with an award. In the public interest, convenience, and necessity. And it's what everyone in this room does. All of you as council members, what the administration does, and what all the departments do. And that is the high bar that we try very hard to rise to. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete.
Questions?
Questions. Councilor Bisanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's really not a question. It's actually a statement. I just want to say I've been critical of your group and your department and Franklin TV, but I have to say you have risen to the occasion during this COVID. I'm so proud of you guys.
Thank you.
As you know, we don't have a newspaper in the area. And I have gone over this with Jamie ad nauseum, and I don't want to belabor that, but you guys have been a beacon in the night, and I just, you've risen to the occasion, unlike some of the other departments that I felt should have risen to the occasion. And you've been a communication and a wealth of information. And along with Steve Sherlock, I think he's our fifth Beatle, I guess.
Well said. Exactly. It's volunteers like Steve Sherlock that really give us the bones of the organization and so on. I'd also point out that every member of our board is also very involved. Our board takes it very seriously, and they're actually engaged in supporting what we do, creating programs and so on. And yeah, Steve's been an army of one with Franklin Matters, and right. We love working with him.
And just thank you, Peter. Thank you for
thank you very much, Franklin TV.
I yield the floor.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Peter, you and I have worked and been friends now for many years, and I can honestly say that I admire all the hard work that you and everyone over at the TV station and radio station do. It's remarkable, the product that comes out of Franklin TV and Franklin Radio. It's so well produced. The local feel that comes out of everything really touches every base of Franklin, every portion of Franklin, from education to government to sports, to all the different things that Franklin has to offer. It's keen to see that when we started years ago, you hired on a person to start doing some productions who now actually officially works for a major radio major television station in Boston. And it all started here in Franklin. And it's all through the hard work of you, yourself, and the board, and all of your staff that have helped make all of this possible. And I appreciate all the hard work that you guys do in making this work. And we will always, I will always support you here on the council when it comes to the funding and all the other support you may need.
Any other, Councilor Hamblin?
Thank you, Chair Mercer. Through the chair, I'd like to just thank Pete and everyone at Franklin TV for allowing our hybrid meetings to occur. I think it's actually opened up the town government to the people, and many more people can now actually participate in the meeting. And that's why we have people raising their hand to ask questions. And it's just, it's amazing how agile and quick we can all move around, and it's a testament to Pete and the board and Chris down at the studio. And I look forward to for being able down at the studio and maybe doing some more cooking shows. So thanks a lot, Pete. I leave the floor. Thank you,
Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Frangillo.
I'll also add on to my thank yous. I'm a big fan of yours, not only the organization, but the voice that you bring yourself to radio and TV programs. I did have a few questions.
Sure.
How concerned are we about people not getting cable anymore? What impact does that have on you guys, on your budget, and on how you change your programming?
The peak was 2017 when we received the maximum income from cable subscriptions. Since that time, it's been dropping off. We've seen approximately around a 10 to 12% reduction overall since that time. I am anticipating probably another 12 to 20% reduction over the next 5 years. That's sort of my forecast based on what I know about industry norms.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why we're also managing as conservatively as we can for the long haul. So at this point, we are, you know, fiscally sound, fiscally solid, and intend to stay that way while we try to keep the production bar as high as we can.
Do we need to start thinking about different revenue sources and having a different source? Because if cable is, eventually going to die, then, we still need your service.
Well, there are two reduction strategies. One is the fact that, yes, there is cable cord cutting. And then there's a more of a generational issue, which goes out over 20, 25 years of cord nevers, people who just don't see the reason to sign on. This is going to be a strange statement for me to say, but I have faith in Comcast in some respects. They're not going to go away quietly into the night. But assuming that we do have a reduction, and however that impacts us, both near and long term, we are looking at ways that we can generate other programming on a streaming basis, separate from what we do with cable operation, as a way of generating revenues. And in fact, it's not just for us. We're also doing that with other organizations. For instance, we're working with Black Box and finding ways to enhance what it is that they do, not only during COVID, but how to generate revenue for the arts, for us, in the long term, in a post-pandemic setting. So we think that there's opportunity in streaming, just as there are, call it, competitive issues with cord cutting. So the future is a little more complex than just people leaving cable. And I'm looking for opportunity in all of that, and I think I'll find some.
Just one last one. Are there ways that we could be using your services better? Either we as a board or their town citizens, you guys have so much ability and just assets, how can we use your services better?
Well, everyone knows, for instance, the door's always open, and I welcome all comers because of the fact that for us, it's an enthusiastic opportunity to engage and to create things. It's what we do. It's what we enjoy doing. And so that said, It starts with ideas. Someone has an idea for a program. The first thing we do is we brainstorm about it, and along the way try to show that it's really, really easy, that we'll make it easy. We'll do the heavy lifting on the craft side to do that. So to every citizen, that invitation is wide open, which is part of the reason, by the way, where we're doing 400 to 500 shows a year. Which is an inordinately large number for an operation of our size. Anyway, that said, it starts with an inquiry. Anyone who is curious, I'm happy to sit down and have that discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Pete, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Everything that my fellow councilors are saying, you've done a great job down there, your team down there, at Franklin TV and Franklin Radio, are just really helping town government get out to the people and get out to the citizens. And we thank you so much for that. I know just not too long ago, we were having issues in the council chamber with Zoom because some of the councilors on the sides couldn't see. Next week, show up, and there's two new monitors that are in the council chambers to help us so that we can see what's going on. So these are the kinds of things that not everybody sees, not everybody knows about. And anybody who has not visited Franklin TV should, because it's an incredible place. They have the technology down there is mind-boggling, and they're willing to show it to anybody when they come in. So thank you very much for all you do, Pete.
This is where I'll give you a great segue. Given that this is about communication and how effective we are and what ideas we can generate to create programs, I point out the fact that a lot of this is also happening while all around me, our illustrious town manager focused on how we improved town communications a few years ago. And both Steve Sherlock and I were happy to engage in all that, along with Glenn Jones, who were seeing what can we do to improve the website, what can we do to raise the town zeitgeist, if you will, by having better connectivity. And of course, all of that today is being actualized very much by our next guest.
What a lead in.
Thank you. Great segue.
Thanks, Pete.
That was quite good.
I thought we were going to a little commercial.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.